This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, time to get into Let's Go There and our topic of the day. This felt like an easy one when I saw this this article. I'm like, this is definitely for Let's Go There. This is the cover story for Esquire. It's all around the life of an American boy at 17. But not just any American boy. A white, middle-class, 17-year-old male teenager. Growing up in a, quote, this is where it gets dramatic, divided America. And now it has readers debating representation. And why was this the one they chose? Because supposedly, according to the editor, there's going to be a series, of different, I guess, is it 17-year-olds or teenagers across different types of...
Yeah, so they're going to follow basically the same model to, they're going to kind of to enlarge into a series on growing up now white, black, LGBTQ, and female. So they're going to do different. It's kind of, this is the first installment in the series.
And that was the big thing. Why did they start with the white guy?
And then that's not even it either. The one thing that stood out to me about this, the cover of it, was not just that it was a white boy, but I think it was the big bolded orange words that said an American boy, what it's like to grow up white, middle class, and male in the era of social media, the Me Too movement. They're already saying, to be the American boy, you're this white boy.
All right, that's not necessarily, it also could be bringing up the question of, like, what does that represent to you? And to him, to this guy, he is an American boy.
So
it's supposed to be provocative.
Sis, I don't know what you mean by that, but we'll get into it.
I remember back when the Obamas became the first family, and there was, like, this beautiful picture of them on the White House lawn, and it was the first time I ever imagined, like, American meaning something other than a white family.
Right.
And so, like, whenever we talk about the boy next door or the girl next door, like, that always means a white person, right?
It does, always.
Because in America, white is default for human.
So you're saying, why would they have to preface that this is an American boy? Because...
Right, but it's also like, if they're doing a series on being 17 and in America, like, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, we're launching this in February. Like, you couldn't find a black person during Black History Month?
Oh, yeah, it is Black History Month.
It is.
I mean, we're talking about this, but yeah, that makes sense. That seems to be tone deaf.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's another situation of like, really? Like, I mean, like, next month is Women's History Month. Like, let's find a 17-year-old girl who is, like, growing up in the Me Too era.
Or who knows, trans.
Or something, yeah. But let's it's tone deaf, absolutely.
Let's do a little bit of a backstory on this whole entire thing.
Yes.
And then we can get into our discussion.
I was going to say, maybe the printers were running a bit late and it ended up happening in Black History.
Girl.
That's not even it.
Okay. So this is the 17-year-old is named Ryan, who lives in West Bend, Wisconsin.
Which, that's the first thing I tell my mama when I realized my name was so common and so white. I was like, wow, mom, I have the most common name ever. Like, I must be the American boy, because every other white boy named Ryan is that.
I mean, you're an American boy.
At 6'5", he's taller than most of his classmates, taller than his dad. He's tall enough to get into a bar to watch football without getting carded. He has a girlfriend since 8th grade, and he's a senior. Ryan thinks that if he were a girl, he wouldn't have been punished. Specifically for a story that they tell in the article where he was opening and closing the door, it seems like automatically for people coming in and out of his computer room. And he opened the door for a girl who said, don't do that. And then he did it.
Well,
and then she hit him in the face. And then she hit him in the face. He hits her back. And then he got punished for it.
Well, yeah, the bell was about to ring and he kept opening the door. And she was just like, what are you doing? Stop it. And he kept doing it. And after people were telling him to stop it, and he ends up hitting this.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, yeah. That, yeah.
So well, and then she like attacked him after that or something.
Oh, yeah. He had like claws on his face, everything.
Yeah. So, and he took a picture. And between this incident and a few others they bring up, it does kind of bring up this question of, as a white American boy and a teen, do you understand why that could be problematic? Or do you think, like he said, I feel like if it was two girls that happened to, I wouldn't have been in trouble.
Right.
So there,
right.
He says, there's a lot of things that I got into trouble about or for sure. for being a white American boy. And that's kind of, I feel like, the centerpiece of this. And it describes his day to day while looking at some of these things that are problematic and what's it like being on that other side.
So there. So if we step back away from the race part of the conversation, there is like this whole double standard about who can hit who, right? So if a woman hits a man, it's like, oh, that he kind of deserved that. We saw that this past month with like Lil Bow Wow being attacked by his girlfriend. And people were like, oh, he got, you know, his butt kicked and da-da-da and made fun of him. But it's like she didn't have any marks on her, but he had all these marks on him.
So that's just one of the things they bring up. And, and we're going to, after the break, dive into the other things they bring up, obviously, like politics, what it's like being, you know, being a teenager right now and how politics is infused and brought into the classroom, which I found fascinating because it's something that we never dealt with, and more. So is this right? Should they have put a white American or a teen on the front cover and then titled it White American Boy or American Boy?
I mean, that's basically what they said.
Exactly. So keep hanging out with us, and the conversation continues on Let's Go There with Sharon Ryan on the new Channel Q. Right now, our Let's Go There topic of the day involving Esquire and their new cover story profiling a white male teen from middle America. They call it, and the headline is The Life of an American Boy at 17. So one, that's an issue that people are debating, and also just people are debating and questioning the story at large. Is this a story that needs to be told? Aren't we sick of hearing the stories of white cis men, hetero men?
I mean, it's a little harsh. I will
but
say.
But no, this is what Dr. Chris Donahue said. I saw that he said
Oh,
that.
Yeah, Dr.
So I'm saying some people are saying that.
Oh, I was like, dang, Shira. Okay. Look, she's in her feelings about that one. No,
so,
yeah, I gotcha.
Let's get to our hot takes. And once again, if you want to join the conversation, I'm going to remind people our number, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. What is your hot take, Ryan?
Okay, so I think my whole thing with this article, one, I don't mind that it was written about this white teen, 17-year-old, kind of in living in one Trump America, in this also in this Me Too culture, and kind of trying to navigate the crossroads of like life right now. I don't mind that. What I do not really enjoy about this is the writing in some sorts, or kind of the storytelling of it, or even maybe a little bit from this perspective of kind of. He's a 17-year-old boy, and I feel like there's a lot of questions, and when I, if I look back when I was at 17 and I'm thinking about politics at a different time and a different period, one, it was completely different because we were living in like an Obama era, and two, it was one of those things where I probably really didn't have any thoughts about politics that it wasn't forced or fed into me through my family or my parents.
Were you 17 during the Obama era?
Maybe.
Oh, child.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think so. I graduated when
I was
16.
That just kicked me right in the stomach. Go on.
Yeah. So I think
I'm already on the floor.
My thing is, I think this really showcased a bigger picture of a cycle that we see often in cases in middle America and in the South that, you know, adults and parents, they already have this way of thinking, whether it be conservative, and they're kind of training up their children to automatically go into this narrative. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, this all this boy knows, and a lot of the comments that he's made probably come from the comments from his dad or his mom, because even his mom in that first paragraph from that whole situation where there was like the domestic violence thing that happened between him and that girl, she was like, well, you should have immediately went to, you know, the office, because that girl could lie, and I knew a girl that broke her arm to get back at a guy, and it was already that thought process in that
household.
Women
are catty though, but God, I mean,
I get it, but that's never something that you want to teach a male to go automatically victim blame. I think that's so irresponsible, and that really showcased the type of household that he's being raised in.
But then I feel like at the end, it shows this glimpse at his life right now, and it does show that he's at a crossroads, because as, you know, people get older, you're in your teen years, you start forming your own opinions about things. And I think it really was an interesting look at someone who, the fact is from a middle American background and could easily fall into the far right, and in the way that we all know.
Yeah,
and all those,
he does consider himself to be moderate as of right now.
But you could see he's starting to question those things.
Well, I think also it's one of those things where it's important to do that, but was it Esquire's job to basically put this out? One, as we already said, it's a very tone deaf time because it won February's Black History Month. And I think this also pushed forwards the narrative that white stories or cis hetero white male stories are more important than marginalized communities. And I think because that was the cover story and because it was phrased as the American boy, in my opinion, it really looked, it was wild to me. It was wild to say this story is so important to be told right now that we're going to cover this 17-year-old boy, straight boy that is from, you know, middle America. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Jared Hill here, again, our political and pop culture journalist.
Thank you, Richard.
And Richard, who reminded us to introduce ourselves. That's Ryan, that voice, and I'm Shira. All right, so what is your take?
So I'm kind of with you on this one, Ryan. I do think, like, timing-wise, it was like, you guys decided, like, to start this series and, like, do this white boy in the middle of Black History Month.
Yeah.
Like,
I just thought that was a tone deaf kind of part. I do think it's an interesting conversation to have.
Same.
Like, what it's like to be 17 years old right now. I'm always thinking about, like, where people grow up in the zeitgeist, right? So,
yeah.
Like, I think about having Donald Trump as president and how that affects your worldview if you're 75 versus if you're 50
yeah.
versus if you're 35
or if you're five,
right? And so it is interesting to be a teenager right now, getting ready to go out into the world as an adult, whether you're going to college or into the trades or if you're going to the service or whatever it is. And Donald Trump is the image that you have of what it is to be president.
Yeah.
And how does that shape the way that you think about the world and how you interact with people and all that? So that's something that's really interesting to me. I just thought, I wasn't particularly like intrigued by this guy's story. Mind you, I've started reading it because it's a very lengthy piece. But I did think, like, if you're going to start this in February, like, find a black kid that you can talk
about. If they wanted to find a white experience so bad, why not go into, I'm going to find a queer white person or white guy that is in that world.
Because I think the part is they wanted to find a basic, like, someone who is under Donald Trump is the one that is, you know, we're all looking at as who is this person
yeah.
that we're all kind of generalizing around these days, which is the white American boy.
That is not a story. I'm sorry. American culture has been wrapped around everything from media to, like, I mean, movies, film, stories being told in history classes in your school.
But
in
now,
schools,
but this
all,
is a real look now.
I get that. But these are all stories that I feel like we have at one point have heard in the way, especially the storytelling by the writer in the story. It was one of those things where I'm like, are we supposed to be feeling, I guess, kind of bad for his confusion of like,
no.
Oh, I don't know if I can give my opinion, or I don't know if, you know, I can't even, people don't like me because I like Trump and all these things. It's like, there's more to this conversation that is more important than us saying, and especially what we've seen in this time of the Trump era, where people feel like white people feel like they are being attacked. Like, there's an attack on white cis hetero men, and that's not true. I do not believe that.
I think all of that. One, I do, like, you're valid in questioning this whole thing, obviously.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I know. You don't have to tell me.
But I do think that perception that that the writer is saying you should feel bad is actually, the writer is just putting it out there, and it's whatever you take from it. I don't think he's going out of his way to be like, do you feel bad for this person?
No, I think
that's your
about,
take on it because you think that these types of people are looking for sympathy or pity.
This kind of goes back to the double standard we were talking about before the commercial break. There's a story within this article where he was attacked. He was hit by this girl and he hit her back, and then she kind of, like, you know, really laid into him, and he had marks all over his face. and as I was saying before the break, there is this double standard about men hitting women, you know, and who hit who first and all that kind of thing. And so that's an interesting dynamic of the story to me. We live in this Me Too Time's Up era where we are definitely giving much more credence to the voices and stories of women, and that's important.
Yeah.
And I think we do need to have that conversation. I think that it is interesting to ask, like, a cishet man, like, how are you processing this information? How are you processing this?
Because in the end, this is how the men that end up, the shooters we see, or the Brett Kavanaughs and all that, I think they're showing that, you know, this is a time where it's a vulnerable time, and there is a crossroads where they can go either way. And why would they choose, you know, the adults that we're questioning now that are under the microscope doing some horrible things? They were props like this guy way mm-hmm. back, right? And I think that, you know, the questions he asks, it's like, you know, he asks, oh, why? I don't get why, you know, people maybe hate some of the things Trump says. Like he says things that legitimately would say we would think are ignorant, right?
But no, I think because he is 17, I think there was a there was a sensitivity to understanding that. Of course, he has questioning the world and questioning his stance. Even my thing about this. He is a 17-year-old boy. His viewpoints right now, politically wise, could possibly change
as he
grows.
But what I think is interesting and kind of pushes buttons, right? All of us, and is provocative, is the fact that the things he asks are the things we hear from older, white men that were like, F you for saying that. And you could, in this mode, we're like, oh, we don't want to hate him too much because he's still in that place where he's finding himself. If you look at that in that way, it's an interesting take on it of like, where do you put yourself in this with this young person? Are you going to, give him a shot? Are you going to give him a chance to go to this other side? Or are you going to say that, oh no, we're going to put you in this category without even
think anyone should be put into a category.
So I look at this through the lens of like being a big brother, and my sister is 18 years old, and I keep thinking like these kids are so much more woke than I was when I was 18, but like they're also growing up in an age where they have to be, where black people are being shot on camera by police officers in the street, and where MAGA hats are kind of replacing white hoods and all that kind of stuff, and there's so much happening around us that I feel like children have to be asking themselves these questions. They have to be examining these things in different ways.
Which they should, but I want to make sure that we're making, we're also adding the conversation, letting them know that there are other representations to this, that you have to understand there's different perspectives and not just this one perspective in the middle of Wisconsin.
Oh, of course.
That's not the main story there.
Obviously.
And I think that's what needs to be told, and that's one thing that I felt kind of, kind of maybe lost the sight of like what the Esquire was trying to do.
And it was interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the Esquire editor, who is a white guy, Jay Fielden, how he responds and what comes after this. That was our Let's Go There topic of the day. Whew, we can all breathe now.
Ooh, girl.
It was good.
We got into a little debate.
I love that.
You know, it was a good show when we got into a debate.